Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 31st of January in the year of our Lord 2002.
Happy 18th birthday to Tom Campbell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Aww. What a day this was.
Oh, let's see what the God of Birthdays gave you. George Harrison, My Sweet Lord. The re-release of 1970s classic. Why is that being re-released? Oh, the song returned to number one position 2 months after Harrison's death from cancer at the age of 58.
Ah, that makes sense. That's why it's a little boost from a passing.
That makes sense. Stereophonics, Just Enough Education to Perform is still album of the month, I guess. That's not how they say that. The number one selling album.
It's
album
the best
of the month.
Album of the month.
Yeah, that's how they say it. Oh, it's a new album of the month. Oh, because it sold more copies and is better. 31st January ends with top place in the Premier League going to Manchester United. Let's skip this bit then. Vanilla Sky is the number one film in the UK box office right now.
It's become the first social media platform. Give it a second.
Vanilla Sky. Social media platform.
Give it a second.
Nah. I've given it a few seconds, Tom. Nothing's happening.
No.
Can you please explain to the jury what do you mean?
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
That's the social media platform that all the kids are moving to.
That's...
I'm going to go.
Virtua Fighter 4 is
terrible
the game of the year, month, day. Doesn't matter. No one played Virtua Fighter 4.
How dare you? Keith Virtua.
Who's your favorite character in Virtua Fighter 4?
The Daytona car.
Thank you.
Jeffrey. He's normally in it.
Jeffrey, in bracket, the car.
Who's the woodman?
The woodman.
Who's the woodman? Oh, what's his name?
Lloyd Grossman.
Timber Tomba. What's his name? The woodman. You know the woodman. Oh, it's Tekken.
Yeah, no, it's not. The Woodman.
Nice.
By the way, for those
listening, it was a bad day to give up smack.
For those listening on the audio version of the podcast, like a normal human being, Tom even did the arms. You know, the Woodman.
Like Thanks. That would have helped.
I don't understand. Oh, now you've done the arms thing.
A Woodman.
No, I don't know.
Oh, Woodman.
Tipton.
Tipton's in the Black Country.
Oh, bollocks, what am I thinking of? Hugh, Pew, Barney McGrew,
Cuthbert Dibbling, Tipton.
Shut up. Right, moving on. In the State of the Union Address, President Bush describes North Korea, Iran, Iraq, and Tom Campbell as the axis of evil.
Yeah, fair.
There's some reports that Kat Deeley will leave SMTV in March after being offered other projects.
Oh.
Ooh. And Channel 4's controversial Brass Eye spoof documentary on pedophiles is among the winners at the annual Broadcast Magazine Awards held in London, picking up a comedy award despite causing controversy when it aired the previous year by people who didn't get it.
Oh, I love the fact that people go, oh, you couldn't air that these days. You couldn't air that then. People were angry then.
Yeah, people were thick back then
as well.
They
were thick then as well.
They thought irony was like iron. Emmerdale Farm. Cynthia is tired of worrying about Letitia and her catalogue debt. What a catalogue debt. And drops in on her to demand she pay off her catalogue debt.
I've got $27,000 in catalogue debt. Gonna call Index and say can't pay it back yet. Catalogue debt. Catalogue debt.
Can Churchill help me with my catalogue debt? Oh, yeah. Wait, what? Are you buying too many catalogues?
I like how it's become into debt because you bought too many catalogues.
Churchill can get all those catalogues and put them in a big old saw.
I can't stop buying the new Argos one, even though it's free.
Churchill, can you cut these up for me? So my mad mam doesn't try and get debt by buying catalogues. Oh, yes.
That is
Argos is Argor with Churchill.
That is my second favourite Matthew Gregg spoonerism, right after Parade magazine.
Everything is Ron Silt to me, all right? Yeah. You should explain what it is by the words. No, Matthew, catalogue debts is a feeling.
It's an emotion. I'm feeling so catalogue debt.
And then the Kane week. Dingle says, I'll give ye catalogue debt, and then hit him with a big index, which was not a thing by 2002, but he got to pop out of Tom, and that's all this podcast is about. It's a cult-holic. Classic SmackDown review. You're listening to Matthew. Tom is off the smack. I
chose
apologize.
The wrong week to give up smack.
Luckily, I had some
my famous catchphrase.
Tom, outside of the smack, how are you doing?
I read a comment this week.
Tom should try other drugs.
It was from somebody watching the podcast that I was on when I was on the main podcast. And they were just like Tom is like 500% compared to everyone else. And he beats jokes to death. And I normally get about 10 minutes into a Tom episode because I can't handle it. And I just kind of want to go, motherfucker, listen to the SmackDown review. Jesus Christ. Honestly, when I'm on the podcast, that's the light version. That's first gear. This one, we fucking stole the car. We're driving it down the fucking Spanish Riviera.
It's always funny doing the other podcast when Tom looks at me and I look at him like, I know this is a reference to something, but the other guy in the room doesn't know it. It's probably best if you don't. Are we walking to a breast? Oh, Tom said it anyway.
I'm doing it anyway.
And the painful silence I followed from the other guys, he smiles and nods, made it all the more worthwhile.
But you know what? I think of the smattering of people of whom the Venn diagram meets perfectly, who are listening to that, and it's like hearing...
So Jay Laffey, it's Stephen Scoders.
It's like though for those two people.
Matt McKnight.
John Eiley.
The triple threat.
The quadruple threat.
The quadruple threat.
It's their faces when it's like hearing a catchphrase from another sitcom in another sitcom. Yeah. It was like on the latest Only Murders in the Building, without giving too many spoilers away, where Steve Martin says, "Oh, we're here. We're the fathers of the bride." And I went, "Hey!" Because that's the film you were in the 90s.
So, like all comic book films nowadays.
Yes. To say the every medium now is that Simpsons bit of do the thing.
Yeah.
Yay! Yeah. That's all it is.
It's me, Batman. Small boy. What did they throw you up in prison for? For Robin.
Yay! That's the line. That's the line.
How have you done? What have you done to that penny? Why, I defaced it. Two-Face. Nice. No, I didn't say Two-Face.
What are you doing over there? Well, I'm just writing down some riddles. The Penguin.
That's another thing as well. I like these anti-jokes.
I love a good
They do not always translate, which kind of makes them even less of a joke and therefore funnier.
That makes me love them even more.
Yeah.
When a joke doesn't land and is an anti-joke to begin with, it makes me laugh even more.
It's so funny because, I've told you, like, Gilbert Gottfried, who we like reading about and stuff, but when he got, you know, mildly successful because he did the voice of Iago the Parrot in Aladdin, still do stand-up, and he would go on shows and said if he wasn't killing like in after 3 or 4 minutes, he just go, "Okay, kids, what I like to do, you remember Bela Lugosi?" Yeah, the first actor to play Dracula. And just do impressions of that just to please himself. All these kids are like, what the hell is this?
It's good to have something there. Make yourself laugh.
Yeah, to be performing for one. And I think, I didn't get a chance to meet Gilbert Gottfried, but I did get a chance to sit next to Tom and ask him, Tom, do we have anything in the mailbag this week?
We've had a couple of things. We've had a tweet. Which you may have been tagged in as well. It's a very exciting time on the Cultaholic Classic Reviews because I have been made aware of a brand new British Bulldog figure coming out.
I have not been tagged. Maybe I was tagged.
You were tagged in it, but
I haven't seen much. Sometimes I give myself a few days off of social media. That's probably why I'm in such a good mood.
It's probably quite a healthy thing to do.
Yeah, but people go, Matthew, you missed 16 deaths. The Roman Empire has fallen. I'm like, oh, bastard.
Ringside Collectibles. Ringside Collectibles have announced Survivor Series 2023 elite figures, including a build your own British Bulldog.
But he wasn't at Survivor Series 2023.
I'd be amazed if he was.
Oh, it's Bulldog in jeans.
It's Bulldog in jeans.
Yes.
We officially now have the Bulldog in jeans as an action figure. If it wasn't there before, it is there now. So I'd like to thank, from the heart of my bottom, for bringing that to my awareness, Royce Murray on Twitter.
Thank you, Royce Murray.
Thank you, Royce Murray.
He's got the boots with the jeans and the jeans with the jeans.
Jeans tucked into his socks.
He can't take a bump.
No. Justin has been on. Justin from Denver, Colorado. Hello. Justin. Justin says, "Hi, Tom and Math. Always enjoy your bollocks on a daily basis."
Oh, thank you.
I don't do it. We don't do them daily, though.
If you listen to it daily,
that's ridiculous.
It's catching up.
That's ridiculous. I noticed that Booker T and Test never had a tag team name. After watching SmackDown 4 this week, ahead of the one you're going to talk about, I thought they needed a name. Any suggestions? I thought Teabag Xbox. I mean, I see what you've gone for there, but no.
Oh, mate, you made me even do my famous gay laugh. That wasn't put on. That just escaped me.
Do we have a name for them?
Oh, TNT. Oi.
TNT. I thought they were called TNT.
They never. He is right. They never had a proper tag team name, but I think during this episode, we should think of something because I have nothing right now. I expect me throwing such a big curveball by Denver, the last Colorado. He's my friend and so much more. Thank you for your services to cool 90s dinosaurs.
Classic at Cultaholic.com. Do say hi if you'd like to say hi on whatever you want to talk about. So if this is your first time listening, good luck. What's going to happen is Matthew's going to go through this week's episode of SmackDown, 31st of January, 2002, on my 18th birthday. I seem to remember going out for a lovely meal with my mum and dad where they gave me a nice gold chain, which I don't have anymore because it was many years ago. I don't know what happened to it.
Oh.
It was nice. Nice chain. Yeah. Remember I'd lost my voice as well when I went for dinner with them, weirdly. I don't know how I'd lost my voice.
Was that the curse that the chain had?
It might have been the curse.
From that old dusty shop down the road that's no longer there.
A curse from the chain.
Thank you. Yes, it's working. Shut up.
Yeah, that's it. My mum and dad bought it, so I'd shut the fuck up. That's what it was.
Everyone in the cafe cheers.
Everybody in the fucking county cheers. We can sleep at night now.
I said ping pong balls, not...
Are we walking to a breast? Let's go into the Wrestling Observer. Before Matthew talks us through this week's episode of SmackDown, I'm going to give you some highlights from the Wrestling Observer for this week. So the NWO are here. Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. They promised...
Horace, Stevie Ray...
Sadly,
Wall Street.
Sadly, none of the good ones came.
Bunch of bullshit.
To quote David Brent from The Office, only Swindon branch of the NWO turned up. They are promised to be on their best behavior because Lord knows the locker room are watching them like a hawk. So they're going to come in, they're going to get on with everybody, and they're going to behave. Figure four. Scott Hall was at the show on Monday night. Afterwards, he went straight to the bar and got smashed out of his mind. Ironically, all the wrestlers had been given a speech earlier that day by management and were told the three guys were just coming in like any other three wrestlers would. They would have no political power whatsoever and they would not be treated any different to anyone else. Believe it or not, people were actually shocked when Hall was not reprimanded in any way, shape or form. They actually believed that Vince, when he said there was not going to be any double standard, and people wonder why morale is down.
That's nice that they've got the Iraqi war minister to come in and do a bit.
Yeah, nothing's wrong here. The Observer does indeed corroborate this, saying Scott Hall showed up to Raw and SmackDown this week. They were not featured on any of the shows. They did some pre-tape stuff, but they were not shown on camera for the live crowd. But basically, Scott Hall made a total spectacle of himself, according to several reports. And they were very upset with the locker room about a guy being handed a top spot with his track record and showing little to no respect for it and making a fool of himself on day one. Tensions have gotten worse and morale is at its lowest that it has been in the modern era. That is according to more than one source. One wrestler did tell us, says the Wrestling Observer,
Jericho,
that the reason management hasn't reacted is because they likely aren't aware, because nobody wants to say anything publicly for fear of being buried. Because it always comes out, and who needs to be the victim of reprisals? The person that blamed them. Hogan, Hall and Nash, we're all in LA for SmackDown this coming week, so we'll talk about more about that next time. But didn't appear on air as they were wisely saving their debut for the pay-per-view. Both Austin and The Undertaker have told wrestlers that if they've worked too hard to not only get the company where it is, but to elevate the style to the level that it's at, to sacrifice it with people who aren't going to work for it. So Steve Austin and The Undertaker have kind of gone up to the locker room and the younger guys and gone, yeah, we think this is bullshit as well. But in terms of what they'll do about it, I don't think they'll do it seems as if going forward, Steve Austin is going to be thrown into the mire of all of this. He's going to get a singles match with either Kevin Nash or Scott Hall at WrestleMania X8. There is some concern from Steve Austin's side regarding the welfare of Scott Hall should they be putting a program together. And I think that was something that was very apparent as the weeks go on.
It's the start of not just the NWO, but the start of Austin voicing his displeasure.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't stop until he does.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's going to be interesting going through that. And yeah, I mean, all the stories that have come out, like, was it their first time there? It's either this week or it's going to be next week then, when, and I'll say it this week because it's going to be even funnier when we hear it next week as well. Go up the Dudley Boys. And according to Hall and Nash, they would just be like, hey, you know, we're here to have fun. And these guys are like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This guy's going to just take my spot and my position. They're just like, hey, we're going to have a good time, right? Just chilling. And went up the Dudleys and just went, hey, man, love your finisher. Can't wait to kick out of it.
This and is like, they're like,
what? It's a joke, you know. And you're like, yeah, but I really am going to get fucked on the card here. That's the issue. So.
That's it. And when you have got that kind of rep, then it's no surprise that people aren't going to take that in the jaunty, hilarious way that you hope they will.
Yeah.
So that's Kevin Nash and Scott Hall backstage. Hulk Hogan has been on Bubba the Love Sponge this week.
Oh, God.
He actually was on Bubba the Love Sponge the day before this SmackDown aired, saying, I'm going to kick The Rock's ass just like I did his dad. I can't seem to find a Hulk Hogan versus Rocky Johnson match in the annals of wrestling history, but Hogan said it, so it must be fucking true. He just can't. He's like,
no, this is backstage in a shoot.
Speaking of, he also claimed that he would beat Kurt Angle because takedowns and submissions mean nothing to him once he sticks his thumb in his eye.
I love Hogan so much.
Fuck it out.
Love you, Hogan. You old shitter.
Currently, the WWF locker room is the fable of the scorpion, which is the scorpion.
Scorpion and the frog.
Scorpion,
right, yeah.
And the frog.
Yeah.
It's the scorpion and the frog. Bring the NWO in. They'll be dicks. That'll be fine. Here we are. Why are you being dicks at the NWO? Of course we were going to be dicks.
I remember Jim Ross, the Ross Report on WF.com, was probably like, oh, the reason why Hogan, Hall, and Nash were able to run amok was due to the poor management skills of WCW.
Yep.
And boy, that come to bite them back.
They were so loud and proud about the fact that, hey, the reason that they were dicks was because the management was shit. So off you go.
It's just like, what happened very recently as we're doing this? 1PW died again.
Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing is, look, weeks before this, Robbie X was their champion, cruiserweight, whatever, that title champion. And he says, I haven't been paid. And they blocked him on Twitter. When he's like, all right, fine, whatever. I'm not that much money. But people went, all right, well, I better still take that booking that I've got for next weekend. And then today, Matt Cardona came out and going, no, this show ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else is like, so you saw Robbie X say this. And you didn't go, that sounds bad. Everyone else just went, well, that's all. I'm really, I feel really bad for you. Wouldn't let that shit happen to me, though.
And it happens to everybody.
And it happens to again, so. Oh, it's going to be good for the backstage gossip, though, and stuff, and the ongoing. It's not going to be dull.
Absolutely not. It is absolutely not.
Anything else?
But I will say on that subject very quickly. In the next 5 years, if you're a wrestler of any ilk and you get an email about a 1PW show, don't reply. Just delete it. Put it in your junk file. Honestly, it ain't worth all this again. Because I think it'll happen again.
No, no, Tom, you can't burn through an opportunity like that. Ask for money in advance.
Yeah, every penny.
They'll never bother you again.
I want every penny up front.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised. Add an extra zero on the end and ask for all the money up front. You'll be surprised how few of the shithouse companies leave you alone. Just a bit of thought for you. Hey, speaking of ex-WCW guys, Scott Steiner in the news this week. Set to undergo a full physical at the WWF's request ahead of possibly joining the company. And it shows you how well that physical went that he won't arrive till November.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, wait, hang on. Wait, it's January.
It's January.
Wow.
And he's
physical then.
WWF said, all right, have a little physical, make sure you're all right.
Yeah, because he had drop foot, whatever it was called.
Yeah. He wasn't a good player. So he's still doing it. Now, apparently, he's still got stuff for WWA, but he had to, as you say, because of his drop foot, he had to solidly tape his foot in place because he had no control over it due to, as well as drop foot, back and leg problems. And it would flop out of position if he didn't tape it down. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I always remember the term drop foot, and I'm like, what? That sounds like, again, Ron Sill. Like, what happens? Well, my foot drops. Oh, that's pretty bad if you're wrestling. So he didn't have any proper matches in WA, I don't think. All he did was run-ins and beat up Puppet and Teo.
I'm sure he had a match. I think he had a triple threat with Jeff Jarrett and...
Oh, maybe he did.
Road Dogg. But obviously with that, you can hide
a
little bit.
But before that, though, all he did was beat up dwarves.
Yeah, that was his thing. He liked to do run-ins.
I guess if he's about to fall over, he can land on one of them.
Mm-hmm. He could certainly do that.
R.I.P. Puppet. He's so great.
We've talked about Rico Constantino quite a bit.
No, Dave has.
No, Dave Meltzer has. This is a story from Figure Four. Rico Constantino had a run-in with Experience last week.
What does that mean?
As he was going back, he was backstage. He was going over about 2 dozen different choreographed spots for an upcoming match. So he was kind of going through the motions of spots and how they're done. William Regal just walks up to him and says, "You fucking Mark, what are you going to do when all these spots fail and the people are booing you because they have no idea who you are and you have no backup plan? You have to learn how to improvise first." The rest of the room was pretty much stunned into silence. Another one of the developmental workers later said it was one of the greatest things he'd ever seen in wrestling because it was so true.
But that's not fucking Rico's fault. Like,
no.
Wait, what?
Rico...
Wrestling's so fucking backward.
Yeah.
How dare you? This is how you've been trained to wrestle? You've been trained wrong. You're a mark. Why?
Can you imagine that in any other line of work where they go, "This is how you work the till," and then someone else goes, "You fucking idiot. Why are you doing it like that?" Because I was trained. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Look, you're using a calculator. You're supposed to use your hands like a man. Learn with your brain how you do a calculation. Yeah. Sorry, it's not the 70s anymore, Regal. I can't go and punch someone out in Blackpool Pier and call it a training. Yeah, thanks. And people cheered. Oh, yeah, cheers, mate. everyone, good show.
Everyone on the airplane stood up. Do you remember this? Because it took me a second and I went, yeah, this is happening. In the UK, because we've got the issues with the Wildlife Fund still ongoing, all WWF programming on Sky TV now says WWFE as of this week in 2002.
When you say it says that.
So it'll say WWFE Raw. On the planner.
Oh, on the Sky Planner. The Sky I do remember on the planner. Sky Planner, yes.
This week they
not
changed
it. Not
the
logos, though, right?
No. All the logos say the same, but on the planners it says WWFE Raw, WWFE SmackDown.
Mm.
That was something just for us. Just enjoyed it. Ron Killings. Yeah, we got sacked.
I think we said this a while ago, but he just was so low down. It was like, did anyone miss him?
I don't know if they did, but he was on the Chair Shots radio show talking about being let go. He says he was let go, gave no reason other than these things happen in wrestling. He expressed frustration that nobody would give him a reason, and when he called back to ask, neither Vince or Jim Ross would return his calls.
Gosh.
Tell the guy what's happening. He will obviously
You're
come
rubbish
back.
And you weren't trained properly. You guys trained me. Yeah. Exactly.
Bye.
Thanks, Willie.
He will obviously bounce back and he will...
have a wonderful run in the WWF and WWE for many years to come.
Yeah.
He will do. Rey Mysterio Jr. back in the conversation at the WWF. He was told that they'll get back to him after Mania if/when they do the roster split and start a cruiserweight division. So Rey's nearly here.
And bloody hell, that actually happened. And a few times they went, oh, yeah, that, we'll get that sorted out, that cruiserweight division.
It actually bloody did, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And if you want a job at this point in the WWF, they have an advert for writers on hotjobs.com. Now,
hotjobs.com.
The ad's been there for a little while.
I hate hotjobs on Goldeneye.
He's too small to shoot.
Sorry.
Hot Jobs is the porn version of Odd Job. I know, because that'd be blowjob, wouldn't it? That's too obvious. On Hot Jobs, they've had a WWF writer's job on there for a couple of weeks, but they've since edited it and this week added a prerequisite to employment, writing for Raw and SmackDown, where they've just said, you must also have knowledge of WWF storylines and characters. They hadn't put that before. I want to come right for the wrestling. What is it? Hospital drama. But thing is, right, in years to come, they're not fussed whether you're a wrestling...
Yeah, they changed that. So yeah. Because it was that weird thing. It's like, we don't want wrestling fans anymore to watch this. We want non-wrestling fans to watch it. Which people go, all right.
I kind of get... I mean, you can't just blanket ban wrestling fans, but I kind of get why you wouldn't want to encourage wrestling fans, because a lot of them have shit ideas and you want people that have a more rounded view of the world. Because I feel like if you went, wrestling fans, come work for the WWF, you'd just get like, instead of a CV, you get a fucking 48-page document about how to book Crash Holly. Mm. And it's just like, no, you need somebody with a more rounded view of the world.
Oh, how I should be world champion by W. Shakespeare. Oh, plus Willie Regal was telling people, look at you using a typewriter. Use a pen.
Bloody oh, laddie-da, call it a garage.
I want a pen, I've got one in my giant nostril. I won't stop bleeding. Hang on. Oh, no, sorry, that's my wallet. Come back.
I need that. Jesus, I need that. That's all the wrestling news that is the news for this week. Let's go to Matthew Gregg for the recap of SmackDown from January 31st, 2002.
I'll do my best to follow that, Tom. Jesus. It's another live feed edition. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So we get Sunday Night Heat.
Yay! I love the live. So the live feed editions, this is where Math has got like the... got the version of it, which was the satellite feed. So you put all the stuff in between it and things. You know, the thing that AEW doesn't want you to have anymore.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about either. It could be anything.
It's all good. It's not. It's killing me in my sleep. On Sunday Night Heat, Lance Storm pinned the Hurricane in 5 minutes with a super kick. Storm versus Hurricane. Hey, that's just Yorkshire summer, isn't it? Crowd like Hurricane. The Cruiserweight champion Tajiri pinned Scotty Too Hotty in 3:59 for small package. Crowd receptive to the action, just not the finish, because Scotty Too Hotty, he's nice.
He's a nice man.
North Wrestling's finest. Val Venus defeated Perry Saturn via submission at 4 minutes 29 with the reverse figure four. The big Balhoski makes a lovely lady's dream. No, but I said, sorry, I ruined it because I can actually say it. The big Balhoski tonight is going to make a lovely lady's dream come true enough. But no, Val, don't do it. You have so much to live for. Oh, wait. It involves getting a woman out the audience and giving her a her sexy kisser.
her sexy kisser.
That's it, way easier. Followed by beating Perry Saturn in a heatless match. Perry wearing black tights here. But warning, warning, warning. Ron Killings, can you come pick us up? The Godfather pinned Funaki at 3 minutes 16 with the DVD. Oh. Crowd liked the entrance, and they also like Funaki eyeing up the hose, but they only pop for the finish, because if you book 1998 wrestlers, you're going to get 1998 crowd reactions.
Yeah.
And yes, the pimp drop is back, so much for that 1 week change where we went to the Papa Shango special.
He did the shoulder breaker, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, well. The big boss man pinned Crash Holly in 4 minutes 17 with the sidewalk slam, and I put, this is your Sunday Night Heat's main event. That's it. Between Crash's cheese and boss man's ham, this match was not kosher.
Between Crash Holly's cheese and Bossman's ham, it was a lovely sandwich.
Bossman headlining Sunday Night Heat, you bastards. Then we had the anthem sung by VA's Jolie Poirot. Yeah, me neither.
Did they walk through it?
No, they did not.
I heard like they walked through it.
This is the time when the person recording this takes the time to adjust the volume settings. On cue. That is Pavlov's response. Pavlovian. There we go.
Pavlovian.
It's just to go, all right, time to do the settings. Also, Cole, as he heads out and gets his headset on and starts talking, and we can hear everything he's saying. Broadcaster, the one person that's got a satellite feed watching a live SmackDown. Cole has only just noticed Jerry Lawler's Titantron and tells him how nice he thinks it is.
What a lovely Titantron you've got.
Jerry Lawler ignores JR on the headset and gets a photo with a woman at ringside. Cole has to go, nice, he stood up, he's talking to a woman. Cole notices the sign that says, I want a slice of the rock strudel. And Lawler says, her mother must be so proud.
For God's sake. Yeah, Jerry Lawler, your paradigm of virtue.
Lawler lets Chimmel know that one of the women, who Cole dubs Martha Stewart, is infatuated with him, to the joy of the commentators, when he notices. a woman like Chimmel. Jackie heads out as a referee, as Cole mocks Chimmel's pronunciation of Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. I always call her Chickwale.
Anything Chimmel does, they take the piss out of it.
Our woman's a chimming. Chickwale.
Michael Cole tells Jerry Lawler he told Brian Hebner he should enhance his career like Jackie and get his tits done.
No, he didn't.
And Lawler goes, you told who? Was it Brian Hebner? And then Lawler like realizes and goes, just like, has to put the headset away, I guess, and just make a weird noise. We then get a recap of Vince vowing to kill the WWF. A lethal dose of poison. We get clips of old WWF footage to emphasize the danger he's putting the company in. With Flair begging him not to do it, and Vince says, all right, he'll call off the NWO and the deal if Rick gives him his stock back, sold for the same amount that Rick paid for it. Camera is looking up at Vince as he does this, as he yells, in the NWO killing fields, I'll be the last to survive. And we don't get his answer yet. Which is nice, but the promo ends with, Vince will see everybody in hell. And I guess I was supposed to type that after the other thing, but I've done a space there and just ended on a flat note there, really, didn't it? That was the open to SmackDown. We are in Norfolk, VA at the Scope. In front of 8,434.
Is this where Triple H and the lads drove their tank?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe. I would need to check
We
on
think
that.
It's a tank. It might be Jeep. Might be downgraded to a buggy by this point.
Well, those red and yellow things you see kids driving around in. With the Triple H Rock versus Undertaker angle main event. Also, Flair makes his decision tonight. Maybe. It's not really said if he is or he isn't, but we'll have to watch SmackDown, won't we? But wait, who's this? It's Wee Fat Taz. 2/3 of the tag champs is here, and he's pissed at Uwu champ Jericho for beating up Maven on Raw. Hey, that's Taz's job to do that. Oh, sorry, he means Taz at least respects Maven, who has less than 6 matches under his belt. So why doesn't Jericho come out here and take advantage of a guy who has slightly more than 6 matches under his belt? Thanks, Taz. Big pop for Maven being mentioned. Nothing's changed in 20 years, eh?
Yeah.
Jericho emerges to a mild pop and walks into a T-bone suplex, which gets a mild snap. Jericho wrestles like a cruiserweight against a man smaller than him for some reason. Gargoyle suplex sets up the Northern Lights Tazplex, which gets a 2.9 on the Uwu champ. Lion Salt misses and Taz gets the Taz mission to a nice pop. So Jericho pushes Jackie, the ref, lands a low blow on Taz, or a high blow, and the breakdown ends the match. Jericho then makes Jackie raise her hand. There we go. Raise his hand, Matthew. There we go. Well done. And she doesn't. Because, like, you pushed me. You've been a dick. So he puts her in the Walls of Jericho to booze. Jericho looked like a bitch. He did. And they're running out of things for him to do to stay evil. He's beat up Maven. He cheated to beat Taz. He attacked Jackie. Next week on Raw, he's going to knock on Crash Holly's front door and then leave before he answers. What did you think of this opening segment?
Taz got a lot of offense in on the world champion, which I'm normally quite glad about because they're on this. They've had this bit of renaissance with Taz at the moment, but it's at the expense of Jericho again. Like, Jericho is just everybody's bitch at the moment. Even Jacqueline got a bit of something in on Jericho during this. Jericho got a bloody nose at the end. I think it was off that little stiff clothesline that Taz gave him. That stiff clothesline, I think, bust his nose up. Looked pretty knackered at the end.
You shouldn't have done that to Maven.
You shouldn't have. You should leave Maven alone. Jericho, it was announced as Jericho was walking out, Cole said that Jericho is playing in the NHL Celebrity All-Stars game.
I did say that.
I've got a little rundown of what happened, because it's quite interesting.
I think I remember bits of this from Jericho's book.
Yes.
Please let us know.
So Jericho skated the NHL All-Star Hockey game at the Staples Center this past week. He was on the Jerry Bruckheimer Bad Boys team. He cut a promo before the game. I know, right? Saying he was going to even the score. He was going to score 7 or 8 goals and be known as the true Mr. Hockey of tonight, which is a rib on Gordie Howe, a Detroit Hall of Famer, who was also known as Mr. Hockey. He wasn't the only wrestler there. Goldberg was there as well.
Playing hockey?
He was just in attendance. Oh. I think he was on the side of the rink. Now, obviously, there's been
He didn't see the hockey glass and instinctively punch it out.
Instinctively punch it. So, obviously, there's history between these two, but obviously time heals all wounds, says the Wrestling Observer. At the hockey game, they did a little skit where Chris Jericho went insane and started beating up the opposing team's goalie, and as well as one of the referees. So Bill Goldberg came over, picked Jericho up, and dragged him back over to his bench. The world heavyweight champion of the WWF being publicly emasculated again by a guy who will not work for the company for another year.
Wait. On an ice hockey game?
Yeah.
So Goldberg had to go on the rink?
I don't think whether or not he would.
Here comes Goldberg. He's fallen on his fucking ass repeatedly.
Like, unless it was on like a bit of the, I don't know whether or not they played out a bit of, because they said it was.
Oh, he just said, pushes. Whee!
They said it was a skit, so there's a very good chance. Like, I've been to some ice hockey games. They sometimes put down like a bit of carpet for people who aren't ice skating to walk on.
You can feel
that carpet. So presumably they did that for him.
The logistics behind this. And also, wait, he picked up a dude?
Picked up Jericho.
That's, again, with those razor-sharp hockey blades.
He's clearly never seen blades of steel. I think it's Jericho just getting emasculated again.
Jericho has been picked up, and Goldberg needs to go to the hospital. He's been lacerated. Oh, my God, we didn't think this spot through. Gordie Howe is laughing, though, and that's all that matters here at the hockey game of death.
They pat up, and the silhouette of Bret Hart is just smiling.
I'm happy now, and now I can die.
Jericho, I can do the spot where I pick you up. I'm not sure, Goldberg. I mean, it doesn't seem really the right idea to do. Plus, you're going to slip and fall on your ass on the ice. I mean, is there anything else you got? Any other ideas? I could give you a super kick. You know what? I think you picking me up sounds just dandy. Thank
sounds
you.
Grand. Yeah, so to go back to the match, Jericho just looking like a bitch against Taz and Jacqueline. World champion. Could you imagine Triple H, Steve Austin, or The Rock in a situation like that? No, they would not fucking allow it.
I think Austin was at that point was like, wait, you're asking me to do what?
Yeah. Fucking.
Hang on, I've got to take this phone call on the plane.
Gee, I said Jericho is making all these mid-carders look fucking phenomenal. Austin was asked to have a match against Brock Lesnar and went, fuck that, bye.
Taxi.
Oh,
hello, Top Dollar.
Spoiler, by the way.
Sorry.
Anyway, back to you.
Oh, on the satellite feedback. Yes, last week the audio was muted in between bits. I'm not sure if that's just the satellite playing up or they went, I don't know any of those pesky satellite people trading this.
Yeah.
Well, this week they couldn't be fucked because, we can hear what they're saying during the commercial. Cole and Lawler tell JR on the headset to tell the wrestlers to stop slamming against their announce table because it's gimmicked for later on. Oh, sorry, spoilers. And we can then get a commercial for Rollerball. Rollerball? What do you mean, Matthew? I mean the 2002 irony-free remake of the 70s sci-fi classic.
That's the one.
Wasting your life. Rollerball. All you need is right here. If you make the team, pow. MGM presents Paul Heyman as an over-the-top commentator. In a future sport, the guy from Mission Impossible 1. Men catch balls and do flips.
Chris Klein.
The updated. We missed the point of the original from the 70s.
Rebecca Roman Stamos. LL Cool J. He's the angriest man in the game.
You heard him. Paul Heyman might be the biggest star of this. The film that killed the director's career. Now, it was only a matter of time before one of these creeps realized that their tank would go up as soon as they got a little blood on the track. Oh no, someone's been hurt in Rollerball.
The death game.
In the death game of death, someone died.
We weren't expecting that, says the organizers.
Leon the professional is not used to killing people in the game of death. The most even, 2002 film you've ever seen in your life.
They're even playing The Undertaker's theme.
Limp Bizkit, Paul Heyman, Shane McMahon, the dude from Onimusha 3, Chris Klein, Jean Reno, LL Cool J, Rebecca someone.
Roman Stamos.
Who the fuck is that? Rollerball! You will not believe the dude who directed Die Hard directed this shit and then went to prison because he paid a private detective to illegally wiretap a dude because he wanted to make sure the film was being made correctly.
Oh my God,
that
really?
Happened. The guy who directed Die Hard and Predator made that shit and then went to prison for
it. Oh, it's not worth going to prison for. It's not worth going to the dentist for.
You're right. I think he got out recently. I think they should have kept him in.
The film was a box office flop, you'll be surprised to hear.
Earning
a worldwide total of $25 million compared to a production budget of $70. The Los Angeles Times listed the film as one of the most expensive box office flops of all the times.
Of all the times.
All the times.
I like on the original, the 70s. Have you seen the original, by the way?
I haven't, no. But it's based on a book as well, isn't it?
That's right.
A short story.
Yeah, something like that. James Caan's in it. I really like it. So, it's based on a satire action thing, obviously, there. So when you take out the satire, it's just, oh, this is exactly it. So, apparently the game of Rollerball was so realistic in the original that the cast, extras, and stunt personnel played it between takes on the set. Audiences who saw the film loved the action of the game so much that the person who wrote the book was contacted multiple times by promoters requesting the rights to the game to be sold. The author was outraged as the entire point of the movie was to show the sickness and insanity of contact sports and their allure. So, Squid Games before the Squid Games.
This is the Squid Game complex, whereby Squid Game was created as like a horrible game that you must never play because society must never crumble that much. And now, Squid Game, the game show! Yeah. No, that's not what we meant!
People have fallen over themselves to do it, IRL. The only noble thing about the original was English pro wrestler Mark Rocco was a stuntman in the film, and he used the Rollerball name as his nickname after that.
And that's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
That's why it was called Rollerball Rocco.
So maybe that's why they wanted to do the wrestling thing as well. Or maybe they thought, well, wrestling fans are dumb fucks who don't appreciate satire. Rollerball!
It's a shame he wasn't a stuntman on Alfie. He'd have been Mark Alfie Rocco.
Oh, I thought something happened on Alfie.
No.
Remember all those people died making Alfie? Remember the car chase at the end of Alfie?
LL Cool J caught fire.
Anyway,
they keep it so straight to the original that it's set in the far off flung year 2005. It was a movie made in 2002. Yeah. What was going to happen in those three fucking years?
Ugh.
We're still not there now. If I actually tell a lie, we've probably gone past it.
Maybe. No, we're in 2002 right now, okay? Everything's 4x3. Shut up. We'll call it WWF, all right? Enjoy it while it lasts. Backstage, the APA talk about how great the film is in a very convincing way. Rather like Lister when he's in that rumor world bit. He's all greased up. He goes, yes, River's great.
Oh, yeah.
Bradshaw claims he grew up with LL Cool J, and he says the song Mama Said Knock You Out. He wrote that song about me. I'm like, yeah, you and Joey Styles. Then LL Cool J and Chris Klein show up, and Bradshaw tries to stop Farouk from asking L where the song came from. And then Rebecca Ramuj Stamos appears.
What are you doing here? That's mental.
So AP are like, aha, we knew a female was coming, so we got you some, quote, frou-frou drinks. And pulls out some girly cocktails and salad. Like, don't worry, we brought them under the table. Looking like Soylent Green. She declines the frou-frou and chugs a beer instead. And the MP are like, woman drink beer? Woman no drink beer? Well, next you'll be telling me woman can vote. Farouk says, damn, Dan, end the segment. Oh, that'll never work.
And Bradshaw anyway, says, oh, a model that drinks beer. I have died and gone to heaven. I love you.
Yes, and he does that later on. But right now, this one segment was fun dumb. Let's see if it lasts.
It was fun dumb, and it was a true example of them. Oh man, isn't that Rollerball film good? LL Cool J, Chris Klein, and Rebecca Roman Stamos. What are you doing here?
I can't believe you surprised me. But the way the shot is set up, you had to walk directly towards me as I was saying the lines.
I love wrestling.
In the office
bollocks.
With no walls that we live in.
That we live in.
Of course. Hey, it's 11.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flair heads out to announce his decision. He's already fucking crying. I put, why is that? Did he pay full price to see Rollerball? Flair talks about the history in this area, and he's ready to say goodbye to all of you. Oh, I didn't think this would mean Flair leaving, but I guess he's not a full-time wrestler. So yeah, I guess if he gives his bit of the company back, then Vince ain't going to hug him or keep him around or out. So, yeah, okay, so Flair's leaving as well, I guess, if he gives back his stock. Flair is selling his stock to keep the company alive because the likes of Austin, Rock, Triple H, The Hardys, Maven, The Fabulous Moolah, Al Snow, Crash Holly, Tiger Ali Singh, Chris Jericho, yeah, there we go, can't deal the NWO. They need to move forward. Prophetic words, Flair. Crowd chants, we want Flair, as Rick says goodbye. Like Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Goodbye, he says. You'll never see me again. And he leaves. No attacks, no nothing. How about that?
We will never see Ric Flair again.
That's
the last time we ever see Ric Flair in a wrestling.
That's right. Gosh. I forgot, and I was skipping ahead to the end bit, but I had forgotten how much they treated this. Like, in order for the segment to work, or the build-up to this, I should say, they do need to have them treated seriously. So Flair's actually really good at going, no, that's it.
Because he hadn't cried wolf that many times by this point.
Yeah. So I was like, no, I'm going to sign it and I'll be it, me done. It's like, oh, okay. I'm glad that they did this as a setup segment later on. It's like, oh.
It was good. I thought this was good. I thought Flair's great at just speaking from the heart in these segments. and the crowd obviously completely behind him.
Oh, I just remembered. Have you seen the Ric Flair news?
Is that the show that he was on? It was like a roast, and they all started making fun of.
I fucking believe that it happened.
Kill Tony is a brutal thing where they have young comedians come on. Tony Hinchcliffe has a... comedians come on, young comedians. They get like 3 minutes or so to last and, you know, do the best materials. And then they get roasted horrifically. They don't just get roasted, they get boiled. They get steamed. And apparently Ric Flair's been hanging out with Tony. And I guess Tony's just been kissing his ass and whatever. And they invited him on. And it became apparent to everybody that Ric Flair does not watch this show.
No.
Does not know what it was about. And everyone realized it was like, oh, no, no. So Rick didn't want any of the roasting. And yeah, he just left. He was clearly fucking drunk as fuck.
He had a few beers on board as well.
Yeah, and he started talking about his dead son, which is like, oh, fucking, all right. And yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I can't believe it happened. Apparently, I told my mutual friend, and I said, oh my God, I've just seen this. And he went, yeah, apparently it happened weeks ago. And everyone involved was like, don't say anything.
they tried to keep it down,
yeah.
but it would never stay down.
Yeah, I'm like, why? What, Ric Flair on this show? All right, sure. So,
jeez. I feel sad that Ric Flair does stuff like that.
I think at least Rick went, I've made a grave error here.
Yeah. He stepped away from it. Like, I don't like Flair doing stuff like that. I feel like, I wish he didn't have to.
I don't think he did it. I don't think he did it for money.
He might have done.
Oh, wait, yeah, he needs some money, doesn't he? He's a wreck. Oh, yeah, well, oh, fuck him.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that's the type of humor it is. Like, oh, no, sorry, you're being paid for something.
Yeah, it's you do your research into the show, and you know what it was about. I think maybe, I get the vibe that maybe Flair had been sort of very politely spoken to by Tony for a long time. And Tony had, Flair probably pretended he'd seen the show. And Tony had come on the show. It's like a roast. Oh, yeah, I've seen it. You roast people. It's great. Probably didn't realise the sheer depths that they dig for this show. It's certainly not my cup of tea. Like, if ever they said, do you want to come on? I'd go, nope.
Yeah.
No intention. Nope, I'm fine. Thank you, though.
Woo.
I would never be afraid to say no.
That got a big pop at the show. Similar to DDP, who gets very little pop here.
Mm.
And I put, well, of course, following that Flair segment.
Yeah.
How can you follow that? Are you ready to laugh? Oh, that poor Ric Flair. I said, are you ready to laugh? Oh, you awful man. Silence is brought to you by Final Fantasy X, Truth and Subway. Kill your dad to save the world and eat sandwiches. All right. European champion Christian is here. As he's winning the ICAEW title in 2023, because time is a flat circle. He's sadly no longer wearing a fishnet for a top in 2023.
Sadly,
don't
bring that
back. Christian sends DDP outside as the commentators talk about Flair. Carl gets behind DDP until he counters a sleeper into a stunner thing. Well, whatever it was, it causes a double down, and DDP lands a sit-up powerbomb for two. Christian blocks the diamond cutter by holding the ropes and then counters another with a reverse DDT. It doesn't work, and Christian has a mid-match drop, allowing DDP to land his own to win the European title. They did a couple of cool spots here that would have been great finishes in other matches, but we're just killing time until that big old spot where he goes, rah, and has a Raj. Christian Gandharaj in the ring as DDP celebrates the crowd because he is still the people's... we can't say that.
Can't say that. No.
But he was before The Rock. Just saying.
He certainly was. I liked the multiple attempts to get the diamond cutter and the creative ways in which Christian countered them. And then obviously when he lands it, it gets a nice reaction. And I think it's nice seeing DDP with a belt. I think it's a reward for the shit sandwiches that he's been chowing down on for over a year.
Yeah.
Nearly over a year in the WWF. This is the birth of Christian's tantrum saga.
I did wonder. And this will last us... up to and including WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think maybe WrestleMania is the last one.
He doesn't do much. I think, if memory serves me right, he gets hurt, takes a little time off, comes back, and then gets really hurt, the match with Hardcore Holly, and then that was it.
Sounds about right. But yeah, I'm glad to see DDP with a European title, if nothing else.
Yeah, good for him. Backstage, Vince comes out of a limo with his, quote, battery of attorneys, which I thought was a nice line, as Vince tells Coachman that Flair is saying goodbye on his terms. Bye, Coachman. Have a great night, he tells him.
Coachman.
I am doing that deliberately, by the way, in case people are saying I'm being dumb.
No, I like it.
Satellite feed. Cole and Lawler laugh about how impassioned their commentary was during the last match. As Cole was trying to mention a heartfelt thing about the children who loved Flair are grown up now, and Lawler was yelling, "You don't know anything about the business." They both laugh it off.
Yeah,
so that, Cole's trying to get the 1-2, and then Lawler's just done. Cole's just countering every time he gets the 1-up.
It was all the commentary was, and you could tell they were trying to score. All the commentary was for the DDP and Christian match was them talking about the Flair segment before, up until the title change, in which case, and that kind of brought them back round again. So it's interesting to hear that aspect of it, where it was clearly like a bit of a, they were fighting each other for it.
You can tell that it's like, I can't believe you buried my line. It's like, yeah, sorry. Ah, no worries. There we go. Tell wrestlers all tell the banter. Differences. Shattered Dreams Productions present Goldust. Come out, wherever you are, quoting De Niro from Cape Fear. Goldust announces he's returning on Raw. Fair enough, you already made your return at the Rumble, but who cares? We then cut to Lawler going, "Oh, it's Goldust, what is he? What is she? Ah, I don't like pronouns," which I thought was just a funny thing. Like,
a bit of an
Sunday becomes the most important thing in the world in 2023.
Goldust says he'll reveal himself to him, and it'll be a night to
remember. That's what he says. He goes, him, who's him?
Yeah, so this is Goldust has set his sights on somebody who he's going to feud with. You may already know, and we'll know next week.
You may already know. Yeah, why listen to us?
I'm not going to
tell. Don't go on Google.
Don't. Come back.
Sorry.
Stay here. This is important.
Yeah.
Family business.
Yeah, he beats Jericho and Raw and becomes the new champ.
I mean, why fucking not?
Here's JR to talk to Steph on JR's leather couch. Crowd yells, "Slut." And she tells the crowd they should be grateful for how she coached her husband Triple H to win the Rumble. Also, she bought ECW. They were almost successful. She's a real company woman. If she hadn't listened to that idiot Shane, she'd have been a success.
Listen to Shane's cockamamie ideas.
Oh, cockamamie. What a lovely word.
Love that word.
Yeah.
I think it was first used in the 40s when Vince McMahon was in his 40s, who I think wrote this segment.
Well, how many chickens are there in this pen? Oh, cockamamie.
If you're not sure, you say cocker maybe.
I like that even better. Cocker maybe.
Cocker maney. Like Matthew at Wembley.
Oh, God damn, no. Here he comes, the human Ouroboros everywhere. Himself, just sucking fucking his way down Wembley. Oh, God.
You want to know truly how many people were at Wembley? Fucking pump Matthew's stomach.
Yeah, Osprey should just get jizzed tattooed on his arm. A new high score, Tom. I've got a year to practice for the next one.
When will you start training? Is it like the Great North Run when you'll start in January?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'll have to go when, like, you know, the Stereophonics are playing or something. Yeah, really. Oh, fuck. Yeah, anyway, this segment's about Stephanie McMahon. On Raw, Booker and Christian took on Triple H and someone else wasn't shown, resulting in Stephanie trying to interfere and Triple H accidentally shoving Christian into her, with her taking a brutal bump, leading to Booker T winning against Triple H.
That explains Mania 19. It was Trips getting his win back.
One time on Raw, you beat me? No. Yeah, well.
Booker owed him one.
Yeah. Steph says, "Hey, everyone makes mistakes." Steph yells, we get the segment where Triple H is heading to his locker room and she's just going, "I'm sorry, Hunter." Yeah.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
Triple H opens the door and she's like, "Oh, finally, I knew you'd see sense." And he just gives her bag and shoes. And she goes, "Ah!"
It would have been funny.
She sounds like Roger Rabbit.
It would have been funny if he'd given her a bag and one shoe, shut the door, and a few seconds later, the door opened, and the other two kept flying in and banged her on the head. That would have been a very funny
moment. They're not my size.
Jim's walks out wearing them.
They don't go well with my tight biker shorts I'm going to spend the next year wearing.
They don't go well with this, with my current gait, like I'm neck deep in toffee because I'm so fucking massive.
Why am the Triple H in 2002? He was so good in 01. He tried wearing his wife's shoes. I have a dropper footer.
Steph denies ever cheating on Triple H and knows Triple H hasn't cheated on her because no one is as good in bed as she is, JR. So she's not concerned with that. And that got a big, yeah, she fucks.
Steph fucks. Steph fucks.
We hate her, but she fucks.
But we hate the way she looks.
I put JR's obviously staring with that, you know, security camera stare of his with no emotion. I said, JR, that was the perfect time. He should have crossed his legs. Steph tells JR to stop asking the wrestlers wives for drama and other things before calming down and telling everyone she's going to prove to everyone how much Triple H loves her. She turns polite and starts smiling. How about decent-ish, there we go, segment, which is at least building to something, which is, of course, Stephanie headlining WrestleMania X8 against Triple H.
Should have fucking been. I thought this was a really good promo from Steph. She can be hit and miss. I thought this was a hit. Like, the wave of emotions that she went through, she's clearly psychotic, and I really like this element of her character right now. JR's questioning and tone and phrasing is really interesting, very of the time. She asks Stephanie about her whether she's had infidelities, about her infidelities. But yet he also references, what if on the road Triple H can't resist temptation? So it's really aggressive at Steph. Have you been a slut? Has Triple H lost his way? No, he's a slut as well if he's doing it.
Jim Kyle. Honestly, man, what a shit stirrer.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
There was, do you remember the comedian Dave Allen?
No, actually. Vaguely, what did he do again? Remind me.
He was an Irish comedian. He'd sit there with a nice whiskey, maybe a cigarette, and he'd just sort of do life stories and stuff like that. He was very good. But then he does
when
this
was
one,
this?
1982.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, I'm old. But he does this one bit where he says, like, if I'm walking past my top window and I see, no. If I'm in my garden, sunbathing naked, my garden sunbathing naked, and my neighbour sees me, she could have me done for indecency. But if I'm walking past my window and see her sunbathing naked in her garden, she can have me done for being a peeping Tom.
Oh, okay.
Inequality.
Oh, interesting.
That was a fun little line.
Yeah. I should... good night, thank you, and may your God go with you.
Good night and good luck.
Actually, you can't say go fuck yourself on TV back then. I'm going to sneeze now, so you have to bear with me.
Patreon.com/cultaholic to watch the video version of this podcast if you don't do so already, and you can join us if you're on a certain tier for a future episode.
There you know what? The sneeze was so good, I think I'll have another.
Okay. This...
No, I won't.
Now
how annoying is that?
Oh, I just
they're like
there.
Metros. You can't predict when they're going to show up. APA play cards backstage and Brightshaw tells What's-Her-Name to not worry about them taking advantage of her because she's had a beer. Why is that said?
Hell. It's just like...
Why?
What a horrible line. What a horrible time. It's a fucking grim time. Hey, we're not going to molest you. Hey!
If I have one beer...
Hell. I hate people.
How about you rolling my balls?
I saw a news article this week that said in 250 million years, the sun will burn so hot that all mammals on Earth will die. And I just thought, good.
Good. All right.
Fucking good.
Can we speed up the process? I'm going to get my Inks Africa and just spray it in the air. Booker shows up and tells everyone who he is and why he wasn't the lead role of the movie. That's a badly written sentence, Matthew. Say it again. Booker shows up and tells everyone, it's me, Booker T, and I want to know why I wasn't the lead role of the movie. LL Cool J stands up to show he's actually bigger than Booker T and tells him he's not in the film because there's no scene where the lead actor gets beat up in a grocery store. Ha ha! Nice. Booker backs away and Bradshaw says, hey, you'd be mad if you had hair like that. Yeah, you tell him, share hair. What's-Her-Name says, damn, It gets no pop and the segment fizzles out, but it was mostly good until, you know, people started being them.
Before Booker leaves, he looks past LL Cool J, or if you're listening in Wales, Cool J.
Oh, nice. Nice. Don't undersell that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. He looks past LL Cool J and says, I want a match with you, pointing at the APA. And he says, I'm going to go find myself a tag partner. I'd have called out LL Cool J. I'd have had
Yeah, that's what the crowd would see.
You're the one taking the piss. Come on, me and you, LL Cool J. I can't be in your film. You can be in my fucking ring and have a fucking match. So we're going to get a Booker T tag match against the APA later.
Yeah.
Rebecca Roman Stamos says, damn.
Yeah.
I won't molest again. You.
What about really of the segment time? First of all, the hey, no, we're no longer taking advantage of y'all. After one beer and hey, look at that man with that hair. Like, what are you trying to say here, pal?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, two white lads are the guys to be talking about this. So let's move on to the next segment. Mm-hmm. Satellite feed. Lola tells JR to tell Stacey that she had the idea of sitting on the desk tonight during the tag match. Tell her to not do it or she'll go through the table. We get a rundown of clips on the RVD Regal tag match on Raw, with half the match being shown. And Lola laughs and goes, well, how much are we showing the whole match? Is that in the Oliver? More clips from this match? This is everything that happened in the match. It's like, all right.
There was a lot that happened in the match. Yeah.
And here's that bit now. Regal is here in a suit with his IC title belt, being frisked by the referee just to commentate. Because Edge saved RVD against the Dudleys on Raw, which resulted in Regal using his nooks. Edge and RVD run past the Dudleys to go after Regal on commentary. You never see that anymore.
No.
And once the referee pulls him off and goes, no, you're wrestling the Dudleys, they're like, oh, all right. Regal on the commentary goes, this is no way to treat the devil.
That's lovely. This is a bloody mugging.
Yeah. RVD lands the Rolling Thunder as Regal complains some more before comparing himself to Henry Cooper. And Lola says, yeah, Cole knows him. Henry Cooper, fucking hell. Bubba drops elbows on RVD as Lola says, speaking of tarts, can we look at Stacey?
Fucking hell.
Stacey sits on Regal's lap, now that she can't sit on the table. He seems concerned. Camera keeps on switching to Regal, who acts like he's trying to hide something. The timing made it ambiguous if Stacey's giving him his nooks or he's trying to hide his hard-on. Edge neckbreakers for two and RVD lands a five-star on D-Von. Bubba powerbombs RVD, so Edge spears Bubba for two. Regal tries to nook Edge, who kicks him away and lands the execution, and that gets the finish. Typical nut SmackDown finish for the lovely tag matches that we're so used to with the guys like the Hardys. Nice seeing it with other dudes as well. Match was secondary, however, to Regal's commentary and knuckle knackers. I like that they weren't too explicit about it, like, oh, Stacey must have given him the knucks. It was like,
yeah, it was
playing it all with his face and stuff. It's like, oh, that's nice.
I enjoyed it. You know what? I enjoyed this tag match. Rob Van Dam and Edge is a thrown together team, getting the win over the Dudley boys with some shenanigans. I thought it was great.
Yep.
I enjoyed this. It felt refreshing for Dudley's to be in a match with someone other than the fucking Hardy Boys or Spike and Taz. Howard Stern on his show last week announced that he'd invited Stacey Keibler to go to the Score Strip Club with him. But
why?
Just for a nice
why would you take a woman to a strip joint?
Nice night out, innit?
Oh, it's Howard Stern, right?
It's okay. Howard Stern, innit? However, the WWF turned that idea down. I think whether they wanted to do it for a skit or not, because they said it would be bad for her image. To which Howard Stern says, hang on, she's wrestled in pudding matches, gravy ball matches, and every week gets her skirt pulled down. Yet being with me in a strip club is bad for her image.
In a way, they're both right.
Yeah. So the scrapped plan was, Stacey would go to Score Strip Club with Howard Stern, and they would film, and so it'd be filmed for Howard Stern's show on E. The WWF insisted that. So the plan was she was going to go. Okay, so I've made a pig's bin of this. So the plan was Howard Stern.
I like Tom when he does impressions of me to make my mistakes look human. Tom never makes mistakes. Tom's actually got everything he just said there written down in a script.
I have, but
even the mistake.
But I've copied every word of it, every bloody word of it. The thing was, Howard Stern wanted to do a bit with a listener, whereby they would take Stacey to a strip club.
Forget it then.
Right?
Oh,
WWF like bring up that said show. No, because it would be bad for Stacey's image to be in a strip club. They instead offered, how about Stacey takes one of your listeners to WWF New York? And Howard went, I'll leave it.
That's
like, it's
it.
Give and take. Come on, man. But Al Sun's a fascinating individual. Like, as soon as he pops his clogs and we get the big documentaries about him so he can't sue, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
But yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't have done anything for State. And it would have been sleazy. One of the listeners. Some of those people would ring up. Oh, anyway, you know what? Moving on.
Yeah.
Booker threatens to knock out LL Cool J's mum tonight. It's so bad to put LL as two I's. So I'm just like, do I say too cool? LL cool.
too cool
with Roman numerals. Anyway, Tess wants to team up with Booker tonight. Booker's like, yeah, you hate him too, huh? And Tess is like, no, I want to impress that chick. Booker says, I saw her. She wasn't that hot. Tess says, you're right. She's not, but I am. And when she sees me in action beat up the APA, she won't be able to resist me. These two should have had way more segments together. This is great.
They should have had so many more sections.
Tess hates women. Fucking women. Anyway.
Andrew Test.
Oh, I was about to make you beat me. I was going to say Booker Tate, but that works as well. Damn it. We both thought the same thing. Where are we at now? Vince is backstage making coffee while a big, very natural-looking Final Fantasy X poster in the background, bong-eyed. It's not straight. It's not even an attempt. Whatever. Then Brawler and... What? Wait. Howard Finkel, Brooklyn Brawler, and Harvey Whippleman appear with the old lads in the crowd going, yay, it's them. With Fink offering to make Vince's coffee for him. Vince pretends to make small talk and ask about their families. Vince drinks coffee and says, not bad. The camera shows some action figures next to Vince. Maybe the idea of showing how big Vince is compared to them. Maybe this is going someplace, I don't know.
I don't remember seeing this on the network version.
Oh, did it not air? Oh, I
know there was.
It's too time consuming for you to go back and watch both of them and take notes. It would take forever.
Oh, yeah.
I've just gone watch the satellite feed.
No,
so.
I don't remember seeing an action figure.
I don't blame you. No, that was it.
It was shit.
Why have we recorded this? What's the point? No one reacted. Vince isn't being evil.
I think it's a Vince segment which Vince half.
You know what?
Of.
They went, that fucking poster's bong eyed.
Is that why they stopped? Yeah, that's the only. That sounds like the only problem with that.
It's Vince's favourite Final Fantasy X poster. Brings him on the road with him. Anyway, Subway, eat fresh with a nonce. Angle thinks he wins on Raw, but Austin's foot was on the rope, so he takes a stunner and loses. Steve Austin's now the number one contender to Chris Jericho's UWU Championship. Subway, eat fresh with a nonce. Backstage, a sad Angle is interviewed by Lillian. Kurt's not a loser. I've accomplished everything I've set out to accomplish. Lillian says, that's not true. You didn't win the Rumble. Kurt just stares at her. Who do you think you are? Triple H cheated. I'm special. I'm damn special. I'm everything Triple H is and more. I'm stronger, tougher, and badder. In fact, tonight, I'm going to go Olympic on his ass. Kurt, I love you.
Yeah, he's doing his best around the watch chance, which now just haunt his very existence. Did you have, between the Booker thing and the Kurt Angle thing, another segment with Vince, with his legal team looking over papers?
More on that later on. Don't worry. We'll get to that.
Because on the network version, we have that where the action figure thing was.
Vince and his lawyers say legal stuff for a bit to prove they're lawyers.
That was
my analysis.
That's basically what happened.
That was it. Flair shakes hands with The Rock in his locker room and wishes him good luck. Rock says, thanks for the memories. And that's it.
Leave them alone.
Because they continue to treat it seriously. The satellite feed has a special little bit, which is definitely not on SmackDown, the TV bit, unless I'm very much mistaken. Lawler promoting the Billion Chuck calendar 2002. Crowd boos. Well, they've been challenged to a special pose down challenge between Trish and Tori, with the evil women eventually beating the good gays.
What is it? Just like they are so awful. Of them just
it's just
poses.
How you're like, okay, so we're going to do a variety of different poses, and the crowd's going to cheer who did the best. So it's just, you know, the very comfortable Billy Gunn. No issues being gay as fuck.
Nice. No, we didn't get that.
What a shame. If you went to a house show in 2002, I bet you'll have seen this.
We'd have had a good time.
And I bet it would have killed a good 10 minutes. Instead, the APA and the Rollerball crew are here to take on TNT. Oi. Test is still immune, says Cole. Hooray! But is the Rollerball chick immune from Test?
Oh, God. She just had her jabs.
Well, he's not going to do that. He's not harsh. It's not a Matt Riddle type. Test strikes Farouk and instantly smashes him into the announce table, annoying Lawler and Cole as he didn't get the memo. However, he is immune, does what he likes. LL Cool J takes a phone call, which I don't know if was planned or not, but it amuses Lawler and the camera doesn't show it. No, LL Cool J is like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm at the wrestling.
Yeah,
that's boring.
I wasn't sure. That's rubbish. It's rubbish. I wasn't sure whether that was. That didn't feel like a planned bit. Felt like he just took a phone call.
Yeah.
LL Cool J
just too good for this.
Too good for this bullshit.
Booker lands a scissor kick to Farouk, but Test accidentally big boots him. Farouk gets locked in the pump handle, but Bradshaw clotheslines from hell to win a quick match. Watch Rollerball.
Do you think they knew the film was shit at that point?
Because
I do often wonder, if you made a film that's notoriously shit, do you know it's shit? Or have you been so just sort of like encapsulated by it and so in the bubble of making it that you don't know it's shit?
I think that's a secondary concern to just making money.
Yeah, oh yeah, it is absolutely a secondary concern. Make bags of money first. But I wondered whether you knew it was shit.
I think they went, well, look, we'll get the dude who directed Die Hard and Predator and Die Hard with a Vengeance and the criminally underrated Last Action Hero to do this. It'll be fine. Right.
He had that
bomb with the 13th Warrior, but whatever. One bomb, whatever, and then just...
All the optics. Meow. All the optics are good.
They were not. Again, he went to prison because of this film. Vince and his lawyers have done that bit. Scorpion King advert is played for the live crowd, and the crowd popped for that. They did not pop for Rollerball. Xbox Slam of the Week gives us Stephanie taking her biggest bump ever backwards off the ropes because of Booker T. Triple H's nose is as big as the Xbox console. Oof, a push there, Matthew. Main event now with Kurt Angle and the You Suck chance appearing. Lawler points out this is the last main event Flair has ever put together. Man, that's sad.
Mm.
Anyway, NWO is brought to you by WFShopZone.com. I know, buy some WF tissues to clean up your tears.
To wipe your tears away. Yeah. You can already buy a Ric Flair sad t-shirt and it's just like a cutout of Flair looking sad from the section before on a black shirt. Get your Ric Flair sad t-shirts now.
Buy that dodgy leather jacket he had like a month ago.
Please, someone buy it.
Please, he doesn't want it anymore. The Undertaker and The Rock stare down at the start in a fantastic moment to kickstart off this match. The Undertaker stares at Triple H, so Angle can sneak attack him, with Undertaker nonchalantly walking away after it happens. That's such a cool bit. Hey, look at me. Yeah. Bush.
Uh-huh.
So cool.
Undertaker's very cool in this. And yes. and the story kind of throughout is like he's avoiding The Rock.
Yes.
And being a pain in the ass.
Yes, he certainly is. Triple H then beats up poor Kurt, and Kurt needs Undertaker's help to not die. Three Germans land, with Lawler wanting it renamed the Three Americans. Kurt knocks Rock off the apron, but Triple H counters the Angle Slam to a German of his own. Don't see many of them, bloody hell. Rock tags in the whittle away Kurt and look amazing as always. People's elbow gets set up, but Undertaker cuts Rock off with a clothesline. The Rock gets worked over for a while, with Rock selling his ass off as the crowd alternate between Rocky and Angle Sucks. Then Undertaker takes over with the soup bone half-injured shots, and the match slows down worse than a cancelled Metro. Double Down causes Triple H and Kurt to tag in with Triple
Metro
H.
Metro is getting fucking killing
Mate,
tonight.
I am now on r/Newcastle, and it's nearly, like, without exaggeration, 75%. Fucking Metro!
Time to wear Metro in the mud this week.
Yeah, because what was it happened last week, according to r/Newcastle, and they wouldn't lie to me, that they got stopped, like, in between stations for a good hour in the summer heat, and somebody had to piss. So they pissed.
Oh, God.
And people trying to, like, open the doors of, like, claw hammers and stuff like that. And oh, people just like, ah.
Jesus.
Anyway.
We're monsters.
Double Down calls the Triple H and Kurt to tag in, with Triple H naturally winning everything. Triple H pedigrees Kurt, but then Triple H chair shots him for the DQ. Wait, what? But then Undertaker chair shots Triple H. Well done, Matthew. For the DQ. And then once more, because it's his yard. The Rock saves Triple H for more abuse and tries to set up the commentary table, but The Undertaker stops him and tries to chair shot him. But The Rock counters wonderfully with a rock bottom through the announce table, with The Undertaker still holding the chair above his head. So I went, aha! Yeah. So The Undertaker's like, no! Angle gets a measure of revenge after getting his ass kicked the whole time by angle locking Triple H in the ring and then again on the ramp as the referee tries to say, no, it's not the Olympics, you can't do that.
They actually give Angle a bit of heat here, which is nice.
Yeah. This was a good match, but it was anybody other than Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
It did very little, but that's the idea. He's a dick.
The idea was he was not meant to do much when everybody else was meant to be. Oh, of course,
that's the idea.
Them.
I understand wrestling.
Angle beating up Triple H at the end, I thought was nice. Jesus Christ, I'm going to say it every week. Triple H looks so fucking uncomfortable. Like when he was walking down to the ring, like his entire upper body was barely moving because he's so muscly now. Like he looks like he's about to burst.
Yep.
I don't know how he moves and wrestles.
Brother, you're full.
He was full of muscles. He's a full man. I thought a really fun main event. Lots of action. Lots of things going on. A very SmackDown-y main event. It was good.
It was. And then we get the real main event.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, no. The triple main event, which usually means there is no main event, but you'd be a lying this time round because the live crowd and maybe even the SmackDown TV broadcast as well, I don't know. Got a replay of the thing they showed on Raw. One of the absolute greatest video productions WF ever put out, up there with My Way at X7, The Lonely Road of Faith. I cannot believe this is a Kid Rock original. It's not a cover. Kid Rock made this shit.
Kid Rock made that song.
Speechless.
It's a fantastic video package. I'm really sad that, obviously, because it has an existing song on it, it's not on the network.
Is it not?
No.
Oh, it's easily accessible on YouTube.
No sign of it at all on the network.
Rewatched it. It's got to be on the Raw one because it's part of the segment with Flair.
I haven't checked. I would assume they've cut around it.
Oh, it's...
I'd assume.
Oh, it's, you know... Now we see this video and there's clips of, you know, Bruno and Lou Albano. I say, you've done it now. Gonna made a big mistake. But it's even better watching the live feed version because you do hear the people popping for people. Like the likes of Pedro and Superstar Billy Graham don't get anything. But, you know, like fucking Owen Hart and Savage show up. People like, yeah. It's like, oh. Rewatch it for this taping. And again, tears and goosebumps meal deal.
It's great.
Every
it's
fucking time.
So good.
Every time. Just, ah. Oh. And even funnier, like there's one bit that break up with Levity. It has, you know, the breakdown. The song's like, "Lonely," and there's a breakdown. Where it's
and
like,
if you break down, tell you know, but
before
family.
That, it's like the, and now I'm going through a bad patch. Bum, 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 bum. And it's show like Bret Hart getting screwed, and then going to WCW, and they cut a bit from a completely different era, completely different episode of Vince and Shane Hedden going bye to someone.
Oh yeah,
they cut that, which is like, oh. What poo-housery?
Oh, yes, because they had Brett getting screwed. Yeah, and then
doing the WCW thing, which doesn't matter anymore. Now they own the company. He's like, yeah, we'll show it now. And then, yeah, Vince saying this, I have no idea where it comes from. Him going, bye. It's definitely not from Survivor Series 97.
Incredible.
Vince rewrite history. Part. Yeah, Brett spat at me and I went, bye. Yeah, sure you did.
Fucking hell.
But yeah, shite just an amazing, hell, amazing bit.
Brilliant video package.
This is how Flair gets ready for segments when he has to cry. He watches that. Flair hugs Arn and Vince and his lawyers head to the ring for the decision. Vince calls Flair a loser, just like everyone else. He says the Flairs of the world who take on the Vinces of the world always lose. Vince talks for a bit until he wants to acknowledge Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Hollywood Hogan, or Hulk Hogan, as Vince calls him. Not if he's in the NWO, Vince. Stop getting Hogan wrong. Fucking idiot. Anyway, he mentions their names and they appear on the SmackDown Tron. What do they call it? The Circletron?
Ovaltron.
Oval. I guess it is an oval. Yeah, you got me there. The Ovaltron, and they appear and the crowd goes, ooh.
They go, ooh. And that is I can tell you, that is the noise they make on the network. Kevin, ooh.
Yeah. Vince says they can thank Flair for stopping them from coming. Makes you think what would have happened if they had come in. Oh, wait. Vince knows the NWO would have revolutionized the WWF. Flair heads out with his lawyer, who, if it's his real life one, is overworked. And Vince cuts his music off, going, no, 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 you don't need that anymore. Stop playing his music. Vince can't wait to hear Flair's last ever woo. Vince makes Flair sit down and take it like a man. But Rick stands up, getting a pop, and Vince's like, hey, you said you'd do this for future WWF generations. Damn it. Sit down and sign it like a man. Flair takes a while to think, but starts to sign it. But then Austin's music pops and brings him out for some what that I'm not going to type all of because it takes forever. But Austin basically insults the hell out of Vince. What? Stupid old man? What? Son of a bitch? What? Austin asks if Flair should tear this contract up and tell NWO to go to hell. Wait, I thought this was going to kill the company. What are you doing, Austin? Oh, wait, he'll be gone in a few months. What does he care? Let it all burn. So Flair punches Vince and Austin stunners him as Flair has a hard time tearing a few bits of paper. Okay. That was a long segment. That didn't mean much in the overall scheme of things. So the whole thing was set up to say, all right, I'm going to have the NWO come in and kill everybody. And then she gave me the company. And Flair goes, all right. But then Vince is supposed to be so demeaning to Flair that Austin has to be like, come on, Flair, you don't need to take this. And Flair's like, you're right. And you're like, that's the get out of this?
Yeah.
I don't think Vince was anywhere near enough of a dick to make this really work. It was like a 6 out of 10 on the Vince scale.
Vince, they could have done so much. They could have done a few extra elements here to make it work. It could have been a case of Vince going, you know what? You're going to sign that and then you're going to disappear and no one's ever going to hear from you again. You're going to have the one thing that you hate more than anything else. You're going to have anonymity. You're going to have silence. Yeah. No one's going to hear you again. Everyone's going to hear me. I'm going to steal all your powers and this company is going to flourish to greatness again and it'll do it despite you and all this. They could have done all that and they didn't. Austin came out and Austin's whole thing was, don't let him talk to you like that. Fucking have him. I'd have preferred it if Austin had gone, right, Vince, you're a prick. Those three on the Tron are fucking dickheads. Flair, don't worry about it. Bring them in and we'll fucking kill them.
There we go. That would have been way better.
So much better.
Like on one level, it didn't. I feel like having Austin come out is just like the cheesiest, dumbest option of solving how to fix problem. Austin Dreamer,
drink beer.
Boo the establishment. I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. To kill the company. But then if Austin come out and goes, I don't care, I'll beat all of them up.
I'll kick all
them. I'm Austin.
Flair, I've got your back.
I don't give a shit about these three. Don't let you demean yourselves. NWO, bring it. Oh, fantastic. That definitely set up. Instead, it was just...
You could have even had...
Austin,
You'd had enough people...
Austin, you haven't paid your tax. Boo the tax man.
Boo,
fuck the world. It's like, okay... I think maybe Flair did too good of a job of setting up how important the decision was to have Austin the Booze Hound do it. okay. So this was just a whatever segment did it go. All right, well, we are doing the NWO then, I guess. But I think it was overshadowed by Flair's bits earlier.
Mm-hmm.
In a satellite feed after the show, Austin stunners Vince and drinks beer with Rick, like the devil on his shoulder, I guess. Then Austin heads down the ramp, heads back, then... turns back round, goes back the ring, offers Vince another beer. Vince is like, I'm not going to fall for that. Come on. Austin's like, no, come on. Come on. No, I'm not going to. No, come on. Come on, I won't. Come on. Really? He's like, oh, come on. Come on. All right. And then Vince goes for it and he knocks it away. And then goes back up the ramp, stops, turns around, and does it again. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, my fucking Charlie Brown with the football. No, come on. Come on. Wait, you really think I'm going to fall for this? Come on. Come on. One bit. One bit. Come on. One bit. All right. Okay. Maybe I can't. Knocks it away. Goes back again. Speechless. It's just a Punch and Judy show after the thing goes off the air.
They just dick about
it. I can't believe you fucking fell for it twice.
That's so good. It's so good.
Love it. Because we all know what's happening. The crowd's like, oh, come on. Come on, Vince, you can trust
Steve Austin. It's fine. You can trust the NWO. It's not coming to be shit houses.
Yeah, just a nice little silly bit here to send the kids home happy.
Send them home happy.
Now watch Howard Stern. What was something you remembered from this episode?
I remember the rollerball stuff.
Oh, God.
I know it's a sad thing to remember, but I remember the time I thought, oh, this is cool, like actors and the wrestling and all that. I thought it was quite a cool bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, as time would go on, I go, it's a little bit lame. The film's a bit crap. But hey, there's LL Cool J. What about you? What did you remember?
I remember the property that I looked at a while ago. That I thought was like, it needs a bit of work, but it's still good. It's still good. No, it needed a lot of work. The landlord was a dick. Look, that's the one there with the abandoned car in the front.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was a bit desperate to get a place, I guess. I just thought that looks good. They keep on sending me updates about the auction because it's on a non-stop loop of an auction, I guess.
Oh, until
like those Japanese restaurants with the food going round, I guess. Yeah, because nobody's fucking buying it. So I was just curious to see what. No, I don't want to see like it's. You know, you're like, what could have been? They keep on ringing me like, "Hey, you still interested in that place?" I'm like, "No." You know, I offered you this much, and the landlord declined it, and they fixed the boiler and all the other stuff, and now you want to sell it for 10 grand less than what I offered you. All right,
as you were.
How about you? How about you get that money? Shove it sideways, throw up your candy ass.
So is that what you remember from the SmackDown?
Oh, derpy derp, beer, beer, beer. Austin thinks of you.
Beer all your problems away.
Smashing the windows.
Is that what you remembered from this episode?
Oh, yeah, it was a great episode of SmackDown. I remembered... yeah, I remember... You know what? I hate this as well. I hated the fact that I remembered the... Yeah.
The rollerball thing.
LL Cool J. Ooh. And then him being standing being bigger than Booker T. Hey, oh, why would they show that? What was something you forgot about this?
Ankle locking Triple H on the top of the ramp.
Yep.
I thought Angle just got a shoe in all the way up to No Way Out and then got another shoe in again. But I forgot this little junction in the road where he actually looked quite good.
Yep.
In amongst all the mockery that he was receiving. So I liked that as well. How about you?
What the fuck is up with the noise? I forgot about... has that been making a noise the entire time?
Nah, it's not too bad.
Can you hear that, audio listeners?
It'll probably sneak through a little bit.
I feel
bit.
So bad if that's been making that noise the entire time. I'm really sorry. I forgot that Regal was frisked just to do commentary. That's a nice little bit.
He deserves it.
He's like, what? I haven't got nothing. Stacey's bringing it later.
Actually, I'd like to add to my things that I forgot. I forgot that he called Michael Cole a little giblet.
Ah,
or as he's called in the anime world, a little Ghibli. Thank you.
Do you think Studio Ghibli?
It's not anime.
If they
obviously.
Were an English studio, would be called Studio Giblet.
Yes.
Well, the chair loves that. It's laughing its fucking ass off. Well, the laughing chair is a
beer,
sign.
Beer. Oh, quick. It hasn't worked. Do a Steve Austin. Oh, no, have a beer. Good punch in the face.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you. This is where we beer off into the sunset.
Yes, it's a verb.
It's a beering is a verb.
Look at the pronouns. Play. Sorry, Lola. Tom, anything to plug?
AEW Wrestle Dream this weekend. Live.
Oh, who you wrestling?
I'm at the moment, fucking everybody, because everyone's fucking injured. I'm not wrestling, but I'll be doing live reactions with Fraser Porter Sunday night on the Cultaholic YouTube channel.
Wow, I can't believe you're doing watch along with Dave Allen.
That'd be amazing, would it not? That'd be a lovely time. So that's us, live reactions on Sunday night to AEW Wrestle Dream. You'll have what happened at Wrestle Dream with Jack the Jobber and the WTF moments with Ross Tweddle as well on Monday too. How about you? What have you got to plug?
Not a fuck of a lot. New Botchamania is out.
It is.
And the next one will be made very quickly, I guess, because Mansoor and Mace will stop talking about all the fucked up moments happening in the WWE career. I'm like, can I use this? Oh, thanks. So yeah, that'd be a nice turnaround. Yeah, Wrestle Dream.
Wrestle Dreams.
It's apparently happening this weekend, and no, Tom isn't lying.
It is this weekend. Did you have to double check? Is it this weekend?
Yeah, I was like, watching AEW Dynamite. I was like, Wrestle Dream this Sunday. You went, oh, fuck, is it?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of pay-per-views at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
After Ash and then All Out and All In, I'm like, oh.
Everything feels like a big special event. Like, then if everything's a special event, then there's no special event.
Exactly. Unlike us, where every episode, the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review, is special in its own unique way.
Lord, is it special. But until we're next together, he's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we're at Cultaholic. Don't forget to join us. Beer. Love you, bye.
How are we going to deal with the issue of this Adolf Hitler wanting Czechoslovakia? We could do the Munich Agreement. What do you think, America?
Get him a beer! Get him a beer! He can kick my third rocket! Beer to beer!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.